So we're in the 31st week of ordinary time, which means we are nearing the end of our year. And we see that in particular, what that means with the feasts that are coming up this week, All Saints and All Souls. The focus is death. The focus is what our second reading said, the day of the Lord. Whether that day of the Lord be his actual second coming or just our departure from here, which will be our first face-to-face with God as our judge, doesn't matter. The point being, at some point, you and I will cease to exist here. And the question for us, the question that's being posed to us this weekend with these readings is, what's next? And I think most of us, if we were taking an opinion poll, would automatically say we're all going to heaven because we're all good people. Our readings today are showing us something a little different. It isn't just about Zacchaeus, a short man who is watching a parade go by and trying to get a glimpse of the star of the show. It is about Zacchaeus, who is trying to see Jesus, but it's about something much more profound. And the key, of course, for the gospel is always the first reading. So the Book of Wisdom today gives us a little bit of a focus for us as we hear this gospel, and that is God, who created every single thing, because it's a book of wisdom, this is common sense. Do you think that the Creator loves his creation? A resounding yes. The problem is the creation doesn't love its Creator. So what do we do? God being God, God being a lover of souls, as we heard in that first reading, continues his pursuit. And until the end of time, till time ends, he will continue his pursuit, which is exactly what this gospel is all about, the pursuit of the soul. Not just Zacchaeus' soul, all of our souls. This story is about an option and how we would respond to a given situation. So think of yourselves in Arizona. And there's a big hole there, right? What do we call that? The Grand Canyon. And you approach the Grand Canyon and you look into it and you say, that's nice. Can we go to Disneyland now? Do you think that's an appropriate response for a natural phenomenon? Let's leave this incredible nature and go and look at something man-made. Is that the appropriate response? Or would your response be one of, oh my word, as you stand here this big and are looking at a hole this big that wasn't man-made, but is just a fantastic work of nature, I would hope, but I'm not naive, that our response would be, oh my Lord, you are so good. But there are some who would say, let's go to Disney. Just like our gospel. So here's Zacchaeus and Jesus. Jesus, as you recall, is leaving Galilee. And as you depart from Galilee, you automatically, if you're going to Jerusalem, which is where Jesus is going, he told us that last week, and he's going there to die. Again, it's the end. So Jesus is leaving Galilee, going through Jericho. He didn't intend to stop, but that's the route you go. And all of a sudden, he is stopped, and this encounter takes place. Jericho is an oasis right now. It's, you know, if you come from the other direction, it's the Judean desert, and it's just this, as far as the eye can see, these white mountains of just dryness. It's horrible. It's the desert. But all of a sudden, you turn a corner, and there's Jericho, this green vegetative, because it's in the Kidron Valley. It's getting water, and right now, the bananas are perfect. The mangoes, avocados, all the exotic fruits that we love and we can't grow here in Michigan are flourishing right now, and it's just a sight to be seen, especially when you come out of that desert. But Jesus is coming in the other direction, and Jericho, he stops, and this encounter takes place. And here's the encounter. So Zacchaeus is Jewish. This is a Palestinian village. So he's a tax collector. So for us, for our frame of reference, if you were to think, and we can because we've read different books on it, we've seen documentaries or movies, let's think of Auschwitz for a moment, just for a moment. So you read these accounts of the prisoners, and one or two of the prisoners will all of a sudden start to try and kiss up to the Nazis. And they'll start working for them. How do you think the other population of prisoners feel about those one or two? Best friends? No. It's more dangerous for that prisoner to be with his people that he's betrayed than it is to be with the Nazis. That's how angry and fierce they would feel about such a traitor. This is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is working for the Romans who have occupied the territory, and they're extorting these people. And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, starts buying into working for them. He's not liked. More than not liked, he is hated. Can you sense the isolation? Yeah, he's rich, but what good is it? Think of the loneliness. Think of going out in public all the time. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene and doesn't point to any of these other people. He points to Zacchaeus. Again, this isn't just about Zacchaeus. This is about the human soul. Jesus is entering this building today, and he's going to the human soul that has not only turned its back on God, but is an enemy of God, working for the opposite side, working for the man. He is the traitor. This soul is you. This soul is me. And Jesus stands there and gives a moment of opportunity. Come down, I want to commune with you. Let's go to Disney, I guess. Is that the response? What is our response? I want to commune with you. We hear what happens with Zacchaeus. All of a sudden, a conversion is taking place. He realizes who he is. He realizes what he's done in his life. He goes to confession. If I've done this, I've done this, I will make penance. And not only according to the law of Deuteronomy, which says you just give back and then you give back twice. He says, I'll do it four times. He is so overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by what is taking place with Jesus in him, that it isn't just I'll do whatever the law says, but I'm going to go above and beyond. What's your response? And Jesus approaches you and says, I mean to commune with you. You've been my enemy up to this point because of your sinfulness, because you're part of the human condition. We hear the other option. Some in the crowd say, he's going to eat with a sinner. Completely closed off. They don't get it. They don't get what is taking place. That God is pursuing his creation because he is a lover of souls. The sad part of this is that he respects our free will. And parents, you understand this better than anyone. You try to get your kids to go in a certain direction. You can't make them, can you? You keep loving them, and you watch them go off the hill of destruction, and you just keep loving them, and you're there to pick them up when they fall. You can't force or control. God can't with us either. So today is an invitation to a different response, perhaps, than what we've had up to this point in our life. Maybe you've responded like Zacchaeus, and you've given four times everything you have. It's another opportunity as we reflect on the end of life the end of our liturgical year, as we make our journey to Jerusalem to die. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us reflect on the power of God's love, how far God goes to get our attention, and for the grace to respond appropriately.